I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, and actually, we are going to make a little bit of an announcement right away. So first of all, I'm still going by Liz Fidler on the podcast because it's just easier, and other books that I've written will say Fidler, but my real name is Liz Fidler Mergen. So yes, I'm married. Yes, I'm happily married. But if you were wondering about the last name, technically it's now Liz Fidler Mergen, but I'm just going to keep saying Liz Fidler on here because I feel like it's kind of my pen name or my author name. Anyway, so there's that name change, but more importantly, we have a different name change. I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I would like to say that it's been on my heart, but honestly, it's been on my brain that I want to change the name of the podcast from the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast to Flower Farmer Forum. I went back and forth. I knew that I wanted to change it probably 6 months ago. And I really leaned heavily into changing it to Peddling Perishable Products because I have a lot of different types of farmers or different people in the industry of agritourism and agritainment that listen to the podcast and find it helpful. And so I was trying to decide if I wanted to branch out and talk about more agritourism, agritainment, direct-to-consumer products, selling retail instead of wholesale, because that's really where the business side of my business has gone. However, I still love doing episodes that are very, very, very specific to flower farming. And I have a lot of ideas for episodes pertaining particularly to growing profitably. So I used to think that the episodes would be either business or growing and there wasn't overlapping, but of course it's teaching people how to grow things in a profitable way that's sustainable. So all in all, we decided instead of leaning into Peddling Perishable Products, that's still going to be our signature course. And we have the private Peddling Perishable Products podcast. If you take the course, you get lifetime access to that private podcast. You can find more information about that in the episode notes. But ultimately, we decided to rename the podcast from Sunny Mary Meadow to Flower Farmer Forum. We'll be changing the cover art soon. We'll be, you know, doing all of that. And I'm going to have a big episode coming out next week, officially announcing it. But if you're confused or you're looking back at it, Sunny Mary Meadow is the name of my flower farm. And it's been the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast up until now. But next week, we're going to kick off season two. And, you know, after we've had over 100,000 downloads, and it's going to be Flower Farmer Forum. So I feel like today is a great time to share a little bit of a mantra that I've been sharing it with my friend Abby, who does my podcast producing, but what I love about flower farming. And I think that this is important to come out right now. It's late July. A lot of things have been happening. If you guys listen to the private podcast, you know what's going on, but we're doing a major expansion here at our farm, which really leans into the agritourism, agritainment piece of it. Still not quite ready to make the announcement to the general public, but let's just say Liz is taking out a big loan for the business, or Sunny Mary Meadow LLC is taking out a big loan. We'll put it that way. But that's been extremely busy. And then there have been a couple other things that are going on as well. I've been doing a lot more speaking. And the podcast, it hasn't taken a back seat. That's not the right way to say it, but numbers are down in the summer anyway. So we've been kind of pivoting and trying to decide what we want this to look like. And we have a crystal clear vision and we're moving forward. So my episode today, I'm going to title it Every Day Feels Like a Friday. And really what it's about is why I love flower farming. And I feel like right now there's probably a lot of you who are burnt out, who are tired, who are getting mad because your flowers aren't selling, or, you know, just battling pests, battling drought, battling storms, battling hail, battling wind, battling people going on vacation, battling the heat, you know, working your butt off and hopefully making a profit, hopefully making money. But I know that that's easier said than done, and it takes a lot of intention. So I just want to share some positivity, because I feel like a lot of social media, when you follow other flower farmers, it's either fake optimism or honestly people complaining about how hard it is. And I'm somewhere in between, honestly. It's not to say that it's not hard, and it's not to say that it's not work. But to me, when I say every day feels like a Friday, I mean, yeah, it's still a work day every day. I don't necessarily get Saturdays and Sundays where you can't think about work at all, because being a business owner, you don't get to shut it off. And you know, you can not work, you can not check your email, but it's always there in the back of your mind. It's always there. You can't be somewhere and have all of a sudden a storm come up and hail and not worry about your flowers. You can't be somewhere and, you know, realize something that's coming up this week, or be asked to do something and, you know, now suddenly your employee is calling in sick, or, you know, whatever might happen, or find out that, great, the baseball team made it to state and that's awesome, except now all of my subscription holders are messaging me saying, can I move my subscription, or whatever it might be. But you can't really let it go when you're a business owner. And so every day still feels like a work day, but it's a Friday. And I was having this conversation with my husband, Brent, and he dairy farmed for 6 years. So he went to college for accounting, actually moved to Australia after he graduated, and then came back to dairy farm for 6 years, and then decided on a career change and sold the cows and sold out of the farm, which was really, really sad for him to do. But he said the whole time he was farming, that entire 6 years, every day felt like a Monday. And it just was not the life he wanted long term. And, you know, to be a dairy farmer and that type of farmer, it's, you have to have a certain personality. And it just, he had a hard time, you know, being married to the farm and being there all the time. And that's what comes with it. But ultimately, you know, he said every single day felt like a Monday. It was just a new uphill battle in some way, shape, or form. And I will say that in my early years of my farm, and especially, honestly, up until this year, it definitely did not feel like a Friday. But I want to share just some of the things that I have really worked on to make it so that this business is something that I love doing. If you're new to the podcast, go back and listen to the episode, Should You Start a Flower Farm? I think that sets a really good foundation for how I feel and where things started out for me, because you can do anything, but you can't do everything. And just because something is a hobby doesn't necessarily mean you should turn it into a business. I give the example of, you love coffee, but should you start a coffee shop? You love working out, but should you become a personal trainer? Sometimes when it becomes your job and you're reliant on sales, it's so much more than growing flowers. Your business is not growing flowers. Your business is selling flowers. And if you don't like sales, and if you don't like marketing, and if you don't like bookkeeping and all of those things, then that's the majority of what your business entails. It's the growing the flowers is the easy part. And so I think trying to lean into those tasks and figuring out deeply, looking at the tasks that I wanted to do, is what made all the difference. So this time last year, I got really serious about hiring out help and realizing that if I'm going to continue to grow and scale this business, it has to be on my own terms. And ultimately, my goal was for the flower farm, and I'm not there yet. I'm definitely not there yet, but my goal is to have nothing reliant on me. And when I say nothing, I mean probably 95%, because things happen. Employees call in sick, something happens, and I need to be able to float and adjust and pivot. But ultimately, my goal is to have everything somewhat covered and I can go where is needed within the business. So I have Brittany and Lydia working here this summer. And in April, May, September, and October, I am the farmer. I am pulling the weeds. I'm planting the dahlias. I'm digging up the dahlias in the fall. I'm picking the flowers. I'm making the bouquets. I'm doing all of it. I have some helpers that come, you know, maybe one day a week or something like that during those months, just to kind of, you know, move things around. But for the most part, it is end of July and I have barely touched a flower. I haven't made a bouquet, honestly, for about 3 weeks, which is crazy to think about, but that's okay. Because honestly, I got a little bit burnt out during tulip season and I'm able to check on it, but I have Brittany and Lydia on a schedule, on a system. And the only way that I could get to being able to do this, initially, I thought, you know, I can't afford that. I can't afford help. If you would have told me that 2 or 3 years ago that I would be hiring out help for this, I would think you're crazy. But I did a lot of mindset work over the winter and honestly, it's looking at things from a place of abundance versus scarcity. There's the abundancy mindset and there's a scarcity mindset. And the abundancy mindset is not, I can't afford that. It's saying, how can I afford that? How can I afford some extra help? Now, if you have the scarcity mindset, it's nope, I'm going to keep doing everything myself because I'm not going to, you know, that's more profit in my pocket. But ultimately, I've been able to focus on things that I normally would not have time to do. I have added some business sponsored kids classes and it's adding about almost $6,000 worth of revenue to my business in the month of August, which is crazy on top of everything else that I have planned. And there's no way that I would have been able to have time to do that or make those sales or make those connections and fulfill them as I've promised without doing this. I have booked, I think, 11 brides for next year in the last 3 weeks. So that's what I've been doing is I've been meeting with the brides. I've been putting together those estimates, putting together those quotes. And it's been fun to me to be able to go out and actually enjoy the flowers in the evening and spend a little bit of time pulling weeds, but know that there's nothing that I have to do, if that makes sense. And, you know, I think that for me, my personal and professional goals with flower farming, I have really worked hard to structure my business around transitioning it from seasonal to year-round. Yes, the majority of the flowers are blooming from mid-April to mid-October, but we do sales year-round. And when I enter into the season, almost 70% of my flowers are pre-sold. I've got subscriptions. I've got private U-picks, private stem bars already on the books. I've got nursing home sponsorships already on the books. I know exactly when my U-picks are going to be. I know exactly when my public stem bars are going to be. And I can work around that. I already have weddings booked for next year. And so I know flowers don't just bloom on the weekend. They bloom 7 days a week, and so you have to have a plan for them. Peddling perishable products takes planning. Taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes, and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks. Once I was able to have that predictability in the day to day, it just took such a relief off of my shoulders. It's like I'm not hustling. I know exactly. So I know that I need to average X amount of dollars every single week. Or every single month, you know, if you take it by the whole month. And I feel so good about that. So in my Petaling Perishable Products course, which we used to have cohorts in the fall and spring, and now it's year round. So it's the foundations of Petaling Perishable Products. You no longer get a one-to-one phone call with me, but we dropped the price pretty significantly so that it doesn't include that anymore. You can opt to have a one-to-one phone call with me, but then you get lifetime access to the free PPP podcast that's included with the course. And people send me emails whenever. So they email podcast@sunnymarymeadow.com with the private PPP topics. And then twice a month I come out and it's basically group coaching. But in that course, I have an entire module called Revenue and Goal Setting for Your Flower Farm. And in there, I list and show you guys all of my expenses every single month. So these are my expenses in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, and all of that. And I have it all in QuickBooks and I know exactly what they're going to be. So it's predictable. Then in my sales, I know exactly what my sales are every month. So I know we're going to throw an easy number out there for math. I know $10,000. Let's say $10,000 a month is my goal for sales. And in October, it's going to be about $25,000 because I'm pre-selling subscriptions for next year, whatever. And this doesn't include anything that I buy wholesale because that's a little bit confusing because my tulip bulbs and my plugs and all of that are kind of a sunk cost that I balance out over the entire year because I'm selling those flowers in January, you know, in the form of nursing home sponsorships, or I'm selling whatever it might be. And so I know that that's what those sales need to be month to month. So in the summertime, so many of the flowers are pre-sold. And if I was headed to farmers markets or I was advertising on social media trying to get people to come here, the only thing that I am responsible for in the summertime is we have a stem bar every Monday night at the farm, but everyone knows that. It's just routine. People come now, like they know what it is. They know that that's Monday nights. And then we have a U-pick on Saturday mornings. Those are the only sales that I worry about. If I was trying, you know, and I know that I need to sell X amount to make it work, to pay my employees, we had a bit of a bumper crop last week. And so I reached out. And if you take Petaling Perishable Products, I just created a bonus module on there. So if you've taken the course before, you get lifetime access to it. So it's on there now. But I came up with a new sponsorship idea for businesses to pay for the kids' classes. And again, the profitability is in the details, but basically I was able to work with those businesses to sponsor those kids' classes. And now I've got, you know, X amount extra for sales in August, which is good because like I said, I'm hiring out quite a bit more than that. You guys know if you've read the book Profit First, and this is another module I'm peddling, but I have my operating expenses are within a percentage of my monthly revenue. And that operating expense is for someone that's working 40 hours a week within the business. I definitely am not putting in 40 hours a week on my flower farm right now. I am definitely a owner, not an operator during these months is how I would classify it. And that's okay. So I do the tours on Tuesday. I do the stem bars at the farm on Monday nights. And then I do some of the U-picks on Saturday morning. But honestly, we're camping almost every weekend or we're gone almost every weekend up at the lake. And so I have employees that do most of that. So really that's what I'm responsible for. And then it's, you know, the payroll, the inventory, checking on things. I do my social media with the help of Abby, my podcast producer. She makes a lot of the graphics and stuff. I just hired a new assistant, Tina, that's going to be taking over some of the email newsletter, stuff like that. To me, what gave me that breath of fresh air for finally loving this business again is that I get to do the pieces that I love. And I'm not going to lie, right now I'm itching to, you know, make the bouquets. I love making 50 bouquets a day and that feels so good. But when I have a million other things that I should be doing, oh my gosh, I should be sending out an email. Oh my gosh, I should be, you know, ordering this. Oh, I got to call that person back. Oh, I forgot to let that, you know, that person know this. Or now I'm missing out on something with my kids because I'm doing this. When it becomes something that you have to do and you don't have time to do the other things, then it starts losing its fun. And so right now I know when Brittany and Lydia go back to work, they go back to orientation as teachers. And I know that my time will come for working on the flowers. So actually my summer subscriptions are 10 weeks long. And then we add a 5-week subscription. So it's not ideal that they go back to work or their, you know, their other jobs that same week that the 5-week subscriptions start, because now instead of 60 per week that we have right now, we're going to have about 110 per week after they go back to work. But they're going to come here in the evenings, they're going to pick some flowers, and it'll just be in the cooler, and I'll just have to make the bouquets. And we have everything so streamlined that it's just no pressure. And I know that this is what we need to do every day. We have a really good communication tool within the business, and I know that my time's going to come. So that means I have 3 full weeks, well, almost 4, of getting everything else ready. So I'm pending newsletters already. I'm creating my flower cast. I'm creating my social media content already. And that's what's so nice with this business. You know, you could say that it gets boring, but honestly, predictability in the business world is worth so much peace of mind. I cannot imagine doing this if I had to hustle for every sale or advertise for every sale. We do so few one-off sales. But I think, you know, looking at when things are under control and you feel organized and you know what's happening, it just creates a sense of calmness on the farm. And I was reading a book recently. I was listening to an audiobook called Winning. And in there, they had a quote about business. And they talked about being heartless as a business owner. And I'm like, what? No, like I put my heart into everything, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, nope, it's not being heartless. It's using your heart less. Using your mind, relying on instinct, relying on intuition, relying on facts. And that's what's been really helpful to me. I log into my QuickBooks and I click on reports. I go to P&L statements, so profit and loss. And, you know, I was kind of not panicking, but I was like, oh my gosh, I think sales are down. Sales are down this year. I know they're down. And so I went from May 1st to today, July 29th, and I looked at the revenue and I looked at the expenses. And honestly, we're within a couple $1,000. And so it's like, nope, I'm good. I know where we were at last year. I know where the bank account's at. I know what it needs to be. And it's just been this sense of calmness. I guess my point of this episode is I want you all to know that it's possible. And there's probably a lot of you who are listening to this thinking that it's the dumbest episode ever because you're like, well, yeah, that's running a business. Duh. But I feel like there's a lot more of you out there that are hopeless a little bit, because that's where I was feeling a year ago. I just felt like I quit my job as a nurse practitioner and what the hell did I do? That's what I felt like 1 year ago. I was working 70 hours a week. I was barely keeping up. I was making money, but everything was reactionary. And the only reason I was making money was because I was working 70 hours a week. So when you divide what I make per hour, it was definitely not effective or efficient use of my time. And that's where I started really realizing that, you know, the systems and the things that we do every day needed to make a change. And so, you know, I can still add some fun things, some calm things, but it just works. If you're on there and you listen to the private PPP podcast, I'm going to have some episodes coming out. Spoiler alert, I will be announcing it soon. It's just everything is not completely in a row. There's a few things that are delayed, but essentially we are expanding our farm. We are putting up a new building and we are going to make some big dreams happen. We'll put it that way. And I'm scared, but I'm confident that this is the right thing. I'm confident that everything that we are adding is going to be sustainable in a way that I already have a plan for how it's going to work. I already have a plan for who and how I can hire help to do it, because my plate is as full as I would like it with this flower farm. I love spending my time networking with other flower farmers, putting on workshops, Flower Farmer Forum, Farmer Florist Boot Camp. I've got some of you that I coach one-to-one. I've done a lot more speaking professionally, and that is what really, really drives me. I love being a business owner. I love having the flowers, but I'll be honest, I am not content with being a flower farmer working sun up to sundown every day. I know that probably sounds bad, but it's not that I'm above the day-to-day work, but it's just I know that if I want to scale this business and make it sustainable and turn it into an asset that my children can have, that my children's children can have, I want this for them. I want to build something that is going to change their trajectory. That's what it comes down to. This farm is so important to me. It was my late husband's farm. This farm has been so many businesses, but I've learned so much about running a business and how exhausting it can be. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to work 70 hours a week. I've been so intentional about keeping it at around 40. And I just, you know, it's work. Things pop up. But, you know, when I'm making those bouquets, and you're probably not going to hear much from me in the month of September, and that's okay because I can plan for it. I don't know. I just, that's where I'm at. And I wish I would have recorded something a year or two ago. Well, I didn't have a podcast then, but and talked about what I loved about flower farming at that time. And of course, I love seeing the joy on my customers' faces. Of course, I love, you know, showing them flowers that most people can't grow. I love, you know, having that florist have their jaw drop when they're like, oh my gosh, you grew these? Holy cow, these are so much better than the imported ones, or these are so much, you know. And I love being able to have that. And it does bring me a tremendous amount of joy. But at the end of the day, you know, are you building a business around your life, or are you building your life around your business? And to me, something had to give. I was building my business around other people. I was trying so hard to be the cool boss, or trying so hard to, you know, make everyone else happy or make every single customer happy. And I finally was like, nope, this is what needs to happen. And we need to go deeper, not wider, with those customers, and need to sell more flowers to those specific customers. And we cannot be for everyone, because that is killing me to try to please everybody. And yeah, I don't know. I love owning this business. I love working within this business. Like I said, it will change the seasonality of it. Sometimes I'm in the garden, sometimes I'm in the office. And right now I'm majorly in the office, but the business kind of runs itself at this point, which is pretty dang awesome. Yeah. And then I'll be working those shifts in the spring and fall. And that's where we're at for now. But yeah, that's what I love about flower farming, is literally it is a business. That's what I love about business ownership, not business operating, business ownership. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.